Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We would like to first begin by reciting a Surah Al-Fatiha to offer as a gift to the souls of all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the a'imma alayhim as-salam, all of the companions, the righteous companions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, all of the ulama and the fuqaha who have passed, all of the martyrs and shuhada on the path of Islam, all of the righteous individuals to have existed from the beginning of time, and not to forget our own marhumin, our dear ones who have not only passed away in the last year, 1444, but who have passed in our families. Rahimallahu man qara'a al-fatihata ma'a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Inshallah, we are also requested to remember the marhumin of this community, especially Sayyid Azhar Ali Rizwi and all of your marhumin, inshallah, who have passed away in the last year. Rahimallahu man qara' al-fatiha. Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-deen. Iyaka na'abudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Before I continue, I normally I would like to clarify one thing that sometimes comes as a question about the recitation of Al-Fatiha and Al-Ikhlas. Sometimes we have this notion, and it is true, that if you recite three Surat al-Ikhlas, you get the thawab of recitation of the whole Holy Quran, right? And that is true. But if you simply recite Surat al-Fatiha with one Ikhlas, you get the thawab of the whole Quran as well, right? So sometimes you might have noticed Mu'mineen recite one Fatiha and Ikhlas, or sometimes they recite a Fatiha and three Ikhlas. So if you're doing the complete deal, you want to do two Holy Qur'an thawab, make it four ikhlases, right? Just as a clarification. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraja. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ومولانا شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الهداة المهديين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد.
Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we have an opportunity of our fourth majlis tonight and an opportunity to move forward in the discussion that we have started over the past 3 days. The idea and the concept of moving forward on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and looking at what challenges we might face on that path and seeking solutions for those challenges. And over the past 3 nights, we've had the opportunity to, on one hand, talk about the idea and the concept of something being sacred and sanctified, something having hurma and being a haram. And in the same connection, we learned about the adab and the etiquettes of entering a place that has sanctity and having that permission to enter. Alhamdulillah, we entered into the month of Muharram, the sacred month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of the remembrance of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. To encapsulate the mission of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, surely it is important for us to talk about the history. Inshallah, I hope and pray we have an opportunity to delve more into the historical aspects as well. But the essence of the mission of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam is centered on the concept of Tawheed. That not only Allah is one, but Allah has sent His religion to make everybody one. To not only unite the bodies together, but to unite the souls together. And not only the human beings, to make the whole system of creation, the taqween, in tandem with the sharia, the tashri'a, to be united and in sync with each other. And yesterday, we talked about one of the biggest obstacles on that path of tawheed, of getting towards unification, on the path of getting towards that idea of not only recognizing Allah as one, but to make everything subservient to that one being. And that was hubbud dunya. We talked about the dunya and the lowly life, that low, base, very menial form of life that is the material world, which is not the goal for the human being in and of itself. Rather, it is a means to the higher forms of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. Today, I would like to delve into another concept that's related to this idea. And this goes back to a question that normally we are faced with a lot in today's day and age. Brothers, as we're continuing, can I ask you all to recite a salawat and move in closer, inshallah? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على محمد As you see around you, and lately there's a lot of discussion about this concept. And I will not go into the political ideologies behind them, but just to give you an example, right? Very recently, there were protests in a Muslim country with the name of Woman Life Freedom. Going back, there have been discussions about freedom to choose my gender. freedom to express my seeking of pleasure. And I'm being very respectful in my words, because I don't want to use the words, because I feel it's the sanctity of the member that needs to be maintained as well. And inshallah, we can have detailed discussions on these topics in the workshop that is planned for Sunday, inshallah. One on this Sunday and the one on the following Sunday, inshallah. But even going back to the idea of feminism and the idea that women need to be free, for example, the idea that, you know, we need to have independence movements from colonialism and the idea of freedom of the human being. And everywhere we find in the human history, there has always been this struggle for freedom. Yeah? And this whole idea of azadi, this whole idea of hurriya, this whole idea of freedom is so close to the heart of the human being. Yeah? We find that azadi and freedom and hurriya is something that comes naturally to us. We want it for ourselves. We want it for our children. We want it so that we can progress. We want it so that we can be who we are as best as we can. And it's all fine. But I must hold our perspectives and paradigms on this concept of hurriya, this concept of freedom. Right? Because given that what we talked about yesterday, given that what we talked about, that the human being has a body and a soul, the choice boils down to this, and I'm oversimplifying it. I apologize. I need to oversimplify it a little so that I can reach out to my brothers and sisters, the younger ones as well. But it comes down to this idea that either I stand for the freedom of my body to do whatever it pleases, to indulge in whatever it likes, to explore and experience all the passions and the pleasures the body needs and wants, and that is one kind of freedom. Or the option is that I give and strive and work for the freedom for my soul. And I work for the higher form of life that the soul connects me to. I disentangle the soul from the clutches of what is pulling it down and holding it back. And if you look at the movements, freedom movements all over, you can categorize them easily into either one of these two categories. Either the struggle is for the freedom for the body to engage in all the material lowly pleasures it desires, or it is a struggle for the freedom of the soul and all the human traits, all the human values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside the human being's fitrah, and a struggle for those. So brothers and sisters, the question is, what does Islam want? Does Islam want freedom for the body alone? Or does it want freedom for the soul? Now, when you look at secular materialistic aspirations and orientations, they only want freedom for the body, right? And this is where the Holy Quran very clearly talks about it. It's not only something recent, it's not something contemporary. It always was there as part of human history and human culture. There was a part of human society that would always want to tie themselves down to the lowly dunyawi life, al-hayat al-dunya. And whenever time would come to stand for higher values, they would want to shy away from it. Even at the time of the Holy Prophet, when the Muslims would be told, look, your enemies are coming towards you. They want to fight you. Why don't you stand up for yourself? Why don't you stand up for your rights? Why don't you stand up for your freedoms? There would be a group of people who would go, but there would be a group of people who would shy away and they would stick to the earth. And the Quran says, "Ithaqaltum ala al-ard." Are you from those people who want to be heavy and tied and stuck to the ground? Araditum bil hayati dunya? Have you become pleased with the life of this lowly realm of existence? When we take God out of the picture, when we have a concept of life, and this is in response to a question that I normally get, مولانا آپ دین کی بات بہت کرتے ہیں مگر ایسا تو ہو نہیں سکتا کہ ہر جگہ خدا 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 ہو. I get this question sometimes. You know, when you talk about خدا and everything, how is it possible? You know, it's too much. I get this from some people. And I'm sure you've heard this question. You've probably felt it coming from some circles. Why do you have to make everything khuda, khuda, khuda? Why does God have to be in the picture? The question from me to you is anything out of God's picture? Is there any part of this creation that you can put your finger on and say, God did not create this? Is there any part of existence that I can say is disconnected from God? So the question for me and you is that how do we look at life is very important. On one hand, Islam comes forward, religious movements that accept a human spirit and the health of a human spirit, they come forward and say, no, the body is important, no doubt. We need to nurture it. But the body is meant as a vehicle for the soul. It is a ride for the soul. The body is going to take the soul around. The body is going to provide the means for the soul to soar. Only if the soul does not get attached to the body's needs and wants more than its own needs and wants. So brothers and sisters, on one hand, the Quran talks about those who stick to the ground and only focus for the freedom of the body, and it calls it tathaqul, it calls it ithaqaltum ala al-ard, sticking down to the ground and to the lowly realm of existence. Whereas on the other hand, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam talk about people and individuals who want freedom for the soul, they talk about it in terms of mi'raj, uruj, soaring higher, reaching the elevations, reaching the peaks of progress. In human society nowadays, there's a discussion, don't talk about perfection, talk about progress. Yeah, progress is more important than perfection. Well, both of them are important. Which direction do you progress in if you don't have perfection in your mind? Can you just keep progressing without a purpose? If we have a perfection and all of perfection lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to keep that as our aim and keep progressing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala ila Allahi tasirul umur, as the Quran says. Indeed, towards Allah, be it known, towards Allah, everything is becoming and moving forward. That's the goal. That's the movement of all of this creation. Every single particle of existence is moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I say, why is there khuda, khuda, khuda in everything? Astaghfirullah min dhalik, nastajiru billah min dhalik. And this is where the easiest form, and I'm going to touch on this and move forward inshallah. When the hadith says, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min, you can understand what it means. In this whole material existence of the human being, the soul can only feel at rest and at peace when it has the opportunity to become free of its material attachments. In salat, when we're told, don't eat and drink during salat, don't laugh during salat, your salat will become batil, don't move around in salat, don't think of other things in salat, don't do this, don't do that, don't have najasat on your body when you're in salat. All of these things, why are they here as part of the conditions of salat? So that you can detach yourself from the material existence as best as you can as a human being and let your soul soar and go through mi'raj. We have to have that opportunity, not once in a day, not twice in a day, 5 times in a day. Our soul needs it. That's why Allah has made it wajib. Had it not been a need, an essential need for the soul to connect and soar 5 times a day, Allah would not have made it wajib 5 times a day. So on this point now, I would like to move forward to a very important discussion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I'm very happy and glad that some of the brothers and sisters have shared their feedback, and I appreciate your thoughts and recommendations and suggestions. And my purpose was to talk about this issue a lot more, and I would like to spread it out over the different sessions. But one of the brothers came to me and said, Sheikh, if you can talk about mental health issues, that'll be really good, it'll be really helpful. And that was the purpose. I really wanted to focus a bit by bit on mental health issues. And I've talked about and touched on these in the past few sessions as well. But now I want to go to the essence of freedom. Brothers and sisters, freedom for the soul, we realize, has to be tied to the soul itself. Freedom has to be tied to the soul. Otherwise, we'll be doing a disservice to both the soul and the body. Yeah? But the reason I bring this issue up is that in the contemporary society, a lot of human decisions are being taken away, and in the name of freedom, something that is the essence of freedom is being trampled upon. And let me explain. In the name of freedom, something that makes us free is being trampled upon, is being sidelined, is being ignored. Rather, it's being denied. What do I mean? Inshallah, I would like you to walk along with me because I want to take you along on this journey together, inshallah. I want to take us to Surat Al-Ma'arij, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting the picture of a human being who is full of, in our lingo, mental health issues. Anxious, in depression. And the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ma'arij, verses 19 onwards, talks about this kind of a person. And the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Indeed, the man, in its basis, an untrained, unnurtured, a man, a human being, not gone through the godly tarbiyat process, has been created halu'a. Halu'a in the Arabic word, the Arabic language comes from a word hala'a, which actually means somebody who's always haphazard. He wants everything. He sees something there, he wants to grab it. He sees something there, he wants to grab it. He wants that as well. He wants this as well. Whatever he can see and find, he just wants to close his eyes and grab it. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Now, what is the quality of this person when they have all what they need? And what is the quality of this person when they don't get what they want? إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. This person, when shar and evil and difficulties fall on them, they become anxious, they become jazu'a. Jazu'a comes from the word jaza'a, which means a person who becomes very anxious when they miss something. Example of people who are waiting for a bus, and they're walking actually towards the bus stop, and they realize that by the time they get to the bus stop, they see that the bus is there, and they're running to get to the bus stop, and suddenly by the time they reach there, the bus driver doesn't wait for them, it continues, and then you see the tantrums. Now that is a person, if a person is not controlled, not having that power over themselves, they will show you their jaza', their jazu'ness. An insan, when they find that they have a difficulty in their life, they become jazu'. That's the kind of person Allah is talking about when they're halu', when they're covetous, when they're haphazard in life. When difficulty comes to them, they become full of tantrums, they become full of anxiety. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. The same person, when goodness comes to them, when benefit comes their way, they become very grudgeful. It's mine. It's not for somebody else. I won't share it. مَنُوعًا. They do mana'. They hold back. They push off others from sharing or benefiting from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting the picture of a typical situation of anxiety. Now, I'm not saying everybody who's anxious is like this. Na'udhu billah, I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. But the Quran is giving us an example of a person who has this quality. Their soul, bottom line, is unsettled. Halu', jazu', and manu'. And the Quran says there's one group of human beings that are immune from this. Illa al-musallin. Except for the people of salat. Except for the people who are constantly in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse continues, it has qualities. Now, this definition of musallin is not only the person who stands on the musalla five times a day and prays their five daily wajib salat, no. Not only prays their namaz al-shab and salat al-layl, no. This is a person who is a musalli, who is not only a worshipper in his personal life, he is a person of modesty in their individual life, in their social life. They are a person of khidmah and service, and they are out there serving the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their qualities are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'arij. You can refer to them, inshallah. Almost 8-9 qualities of musallin are mentioned. When a person gets involved from outside, from within, they leave their self-centeredness and goes beyond their own existence and being and serves others. That's your first step to come out of mental health issues. You have to have purpose beyond yourself. You have to realize that there is a world beyond you. This materialistic, individualistic lifestyle is going to eat down, tear down the human psyche. Because the human is not created for this. The human is created for submission to Allah and to serve the creation of Allah. In essence, this is Islam. Yeah? But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now take this from me, this person who is anxious, the Quran is talking about them in many different ways in the Holy Quran. But one of the main qualities of this person, of this type of a human being, is that they're always impulsive. They're impulsive. When I say haphazard, I mean they are always choosing to go down the path of their whimsical feelings. Feelings. Does that ring a bell? Yeah? You feel like being this today, you be that. You feel like being that tomorrow, you be that. Yeah? The whimsical feelings approach. Now, choice is there. We have the freedom to choose, oh human being. But what is driving your choice? What is driving your freedom? Is it just whims? Is it just whimsical feelings? Is it just impulse? Let's look at the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, has created the human being with the utmost of honor and dignity. It's beyond the status of the human being to just let themselves loose on their impulses and whimsical feelings. It's beyond the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We have indeed honored the Bani Adam, the human being. We've honored them. We have given them that status. Out of all of my creation, I've made the human being the peak of my creation. Ashraf al-makhluqat, correct? We, human beings, have been created at the peak of creation. There is no creation better than the creation of the human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So much so that on one hand, angels ask Allah, who is this that you're creating and you're telling us to bow down? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدُّمَاءَ وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Are you going to create somebody and put them on the earth as your khalifa, as your representative who's going to shed blood? Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Hold on for a second, guys. I know something much more and better than what you do not know. I know what this human being is capable of. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We've given them